Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Can you just really quickly tell me that you love me before we start?
Nope.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, welcome back to Cabin Fever. It's time to find out if me and Dave still love Helen Monks. Dave, over to you first.
Happy New Year, everybody.
I mean, Happy New Year. Do you love me?
It's more important to find out.
Yeah.
That's annoying, Dave. What you did then was like when people are on the radio and they say, they go to a contributor and the contributor, instead of answering the questions, the first thing they say is, well, good morning and thank you for having me on the show. Do you know, that really annoys when people do that on the radio.
Lovely day outside, isn't it?
Yeah.
But now what you're doing, Tom, is you're creating more bumps before I find out whether or not you're actually annoyed at me.
So, shall we, how much context should we explain or should we just answer? Helen, I will always love you enormously. You know, we have shared so much, you and I.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We've formed you me and Dave have formed something of a triangle and it's been great. It's been great, past tense. No, it is great.
Unconditional love, though, isn't that reassuring? Because that then means that I still could annoy you. And you just have to love me rather than you choose to, like, you know, can you just tell me that I'm not, no one's annoyed.
What happened was you've experienced the awfulness of a WhatsApp silence. And, you know, we are in a WhatsApp group, the three of us. Dave invited you to do a thing, which we'll get onto in a sec. And you, I'm going to be honest with you, you very much sneered at the thing. There was a sneering tone.
It was a sneery, wasn't it?
It was banter. I was trying to be funny and impress everybody with my humorous banter.
To be fair, it was funny. It was very funny and it was a good point well made. And yeah. I did. But the problem was when you sent it, I think I was probably watching, you know, Antiques Roadshow or something, didn't reply in the moment and did that thing that I often do. And I just don't reply for days. And then the next thing I know, you're sending more messages following up saying, oh, Jesus Christ, everyone thinks I'm a cunt. And it was like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yes, yeah, yeah. I was exactly the same. I was just watching something and forgot to reply for hours.
Oh, my God. Thanks. Do you know what I did? I have this thing on WhatsApp. You know, you can turn off whether people see if you're online or not.
Yeah.
But it then means that you can't see if other people are online. So I turn that off in order to look at both of you, what time you'd last been online. And
so
see
when you switch off the double blue tick privilege, you lose out on the double.
Yeah,
blue
you
tick.
Lose it both ways. You can't have your cake and eat it on either end. So I don't have last seen turned on at all. So you won't be able to see that still, right?
But what I could see is that you were online.
Oh, I see.
I could see below your little name when I went on your profile. It said Dave Cribb online.
Yeah. Oh, so I was online. I was like, yeah. Well, this happens all the time to me though. Is and people
you're
get
just
aggy.
So popular.
Well, no, people just get aggy about it. But once it falls down the screen, once you fall down the first screen of WhatsApp, I forget to go back. Do you know what I mean? Mm. So
yeah.
I'll leave stuff for a few hours and then I'll come back and like I don't know what's on the first screen of your WhatsApp. It's about six conversations, is it? Something like that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 conversations, yeah.
My muted conversations still come in and use up the top.
Right, so the top is just filled with my dog club and my radio stuff I've muted yonks again. You know, like loads of stuff that I just don't care about.
Exactly, exactly.
And to be fair to you, because when I switched on my double tick thing, I could see that you hadn't read the chat. You were online, so I knew that you hadn't read it. So then I was talking to my flatmates about it and they were saying, look, he's not read it. It's not like he's read it.
God, you were actually seeking out friend therapy on this issue.
I don't know if anything has to do. I felt like a 14-year-old girl. It was.
Why
like,
is it just me? Tom didn't reply either. What's going on?
Unbelievable.
Well, this just, Tom,
do you value my friendship more? Is that what you're saying?
Actually, what I would say in my defense is that the reason I didn't reply is because I think you did it's not an email, is it? You did fax me on the WhatsApp after 8 p.m, at which point I'm in sort of a downward spiral from 8 p.m. onwards coming into land and I'm pretty much on the runway, so I'm done. So you can't expect anything from me until the next day.
Yeah, I think you stopped replying earlier than my parents stopped replying these days, Tom. Like, that was always my barometer of, like, you know, when you look at the, like, back in the days of house phones, there was always a sort of an unwritten rule that you don't call after 9 p.m, wasn't there? You know, that sort of thing. Like,
yeah. And, you know, unless you were reporting a death, of course, the classic.
Right. If the phone rings after 9 p.m, yes, something's awry, or yeah, someone needs a lift home, basically. They're the only two things.
Yeah.
And, I have that now with lesser an extent, but with when I'm texting people certain time, just because, you know, I don't know if they left their phone on or it might wake them up or anything like that. And I your cutoff is before my parents now in my head.
I would say that I'm quite proud of how early I'm switching off my phone. Doesn't mean I'm going to sleep, but I've made a point over the last 10 days or so. I've been too absent and not in the moment when I've been on my phone recently. I've been too much on Twitter and Instagram and WhatsApp. So I've made a point of switching it off at about 6 p.m. Like, literally switching my phone off at 6 p.m., which when you first do it is pretty much like, I mean, to use the plane analogy again, very much like jumping out of a plane without a parachute. You do feel incredibly like it's ridiculous how panicky it makes you feel. Ridiculous that we've got that addicted. So that is part of the reason, but also I do go to bed at 9 o'clock, thank you.
Yeah, that's the main thing, isn't it? So to sum up, Helen, no, we don't hate you, but you were mean about a thing that we suggested that we all do as a group. That's what happened, isn't it?
That's what happened.
The thing is...
So we are virtually running, aren't we, from Land's End to John O'Groats as a sort of New Year's health thing. And we just thought it might be nice for you to join us, Helen, because, you know, do it as a nice little group and we could track our progress every week on the podcast. But
what happened? Is that the website was very confusing and I'm not very good at digesting information. So I got confused. So it says, make every mile count. You're no longer just going for a run, a walk, a ride or a swim. You're working towards conquering a smart fitness and then you get a little medal. Because you walk around your block 800 times and then it tells you you've been to John O'Groats.
So just to make this absolutely clear, Dave texted out of the blue, here's the thing we should do, right? So I click on this link, which does say exactly the things you've just described word for word. Did you write down, Helen?
I just got a photographic memory, you see.
Very good. And I was like, yeah, bang up for that. Why not? Then you said, Dave sent it to Helen on our WhatsApp group. And all of a sudden it's like... What was the word you used, Helen, to describe it?
I said, I think it's a scam.
It's such an interesting point of view to take that a company that's built a platform and provided a service and then just wants a bit of money for it is a scam. That is a very millennial way of looking at the world. It's a bit of a scam, isn't it? I could just walk around my house. Yeah, of course you could. Well, it's like saying, I'm a running trainer, so I'm just running my feet. Why do they want money for those shoes? Nike, they're scam artists.
We get a medal, Helen.
We literally get a medal.
This is what I think is a scam. They've got these pictures holding their medal, like people holding the medals looking happy, and I think they're photoshopped cyborg people who aren't real.
Yeah, stock photos.
Cyborgs?
They're holding all these medals that say, I've walked from Land's End to John. No, yeah, you haven't. You walked around your block.
Well, so I'm bang up for doing this because it's a dead clever thing. You go off and do your runs, and sometimes that can feel a bit aimless when you're doing your exercise. And this gives you like a sense of achievement, Helen, right? And literally a medal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I know what you mean about it looking a bit like a scam, but I think it's a fun thing to do. So I've signed up for it, and it's all fine. However, I have since discovered, right, as I looked at it just now, that Dave's basically in like Leicester now because you're including bike activities. That's outrageous.
Why is it outrageous?
Well, because I thought it was just on foot.
Well, if you'd have read the website correctly, it does say you're no longer just going for a run, a walk, a ride, or a swim.
Yeah, swimming's included as well.
Oh God, that's me even more doomed in that
so
case.
So how does it monitor it? Is it via
It's literally just distance travelled. So it just monitors your distance. My defence for doing some on bike is that I don't run at all. So I'm basically doing walks and bikes, whereas most of the rest of you are doing runs. So I imagine that we'll probably average out about the amount because I'll walk 2 or 3 miles, but you'll run 5 or 6 miles, you know, every time you do it. And therefore I'll need to just knock up sort of 8, 9, 10 miles on the bike to balance that out every other day.
But already we're discovering something about Dave Cribb. I never knew you rode on, like, did you actually go on a physical bike ride or is this just on a machine thing?
Oh, physical bike ride. I say I spent most of the first day fixing my bike and getting it roadworthy again after months and months of doing nothing.
Yeah.
I bought a bike. The journey of my bike basically is that I bought one probably about 3-4 years ago, went for about 10 rides, great, oh, my new hobby. I'm going to get really fit. Then it just sat in the car park in the basement of my building. So much so that I only realized 9 months after I'd moved house that I'd actually left my bike in the basement car park of my previous building.
Did you have to go back?
Yeah, I had to go back. But luckily, don't tell anyone, I'd kept a fob for emergencies.
Always keep a fob, mate.
Wow. Exactly.
Do you know, there's a market near me where you can get fobs copied. If you're interested in some fob copying.
Really?
Oof.
Jeez, I am. Well, actually, do you know what? I would have been interested in that, but my building has really just... They've obviously got a new fob supplier because they've gone down from about 15 quid to about three... I think they charge £3 each now.
Fob chat!
The word fob has lost all meaning.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fob, fob, fob. Do you know what, though, Dave? When I saw your picture on your Instagram of the map and you all with your little faces working your way up the map, I did suddenly feel a big pang of
thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a fun community thing to do. We've got a little WhatsApp group where we can sort of be supportive and ignore Helen for weeks on end. You know,
is Helen in the WhatsApp group or not?
No, she's not. No, right, she rejected before she got the chance to be added to it. There are definitely a couple of people in there that I'm not sure have started the challenge yet.
Add me in. Oh, no, wait, because I'm not going
to
do it.
You're refusing to do it, Helen. You don't get it.
Yeah.
You can't do that. Can't get your
I just really like competition. I really like to win.
Why didn't you do it then? You should have joined it.
Contradiction. The medals look naff.
Oh, Helen.
Do you know what? The medals is the main reason that I thought it looked great. And everybody I've shown so far, I think, has exclusively actually signed up and paid their money for the medal. Would you agree, Tom?
100%.
Yeah,
I quite like the idea of getting postcards from different bits, but I got my first postcard today and it's just a slightly shit email. So yeah, medals.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to be real postcards?
I thought it'd be quite nice. In the same way that I sponsored a dog, and every now and again I get a postcard from a dog, which
is nice. Aww.
I'm not kidding myself. It's a stock photo of a dog, but yeah, I feel like a dog, and that actual dog has written me a postcard, and I quite enjoy that. You know, if the day that you are over getting physical mail in the post is a sad day, right? That is one of the great pleasures in life is getting things through the post box, letterbox. Yeah. So I did think those were going to be, but they're not. They're not physical. They're virtual. My virtual mission. Look, shall I read one of my postcard that I just got?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've done 7 miles, and I've only guess how many miles I've got left until I get to John O'Groats, guys. I've done 7.
I can tell you that if I can do very quick maths, which I clearly can't, it should be 1,070.
6, 7.
What's 7? Oh, tits.
I've got 1,000. Wow. I've got 1,000 miles left to go. I've just got to the Merry Maidens in Cornwall.
Oh yeah, I had a little look at them when I ran past.
Well, you whizzed past on your bike, mate. Come on, let's be honest. When you're going, it's probably a motorbike. but I do want to know more about your bike ride. We'll get back to that. And here's the weird thing: the postcard is from me.
I knew it was a scam.
No, I think this is the thing, Tom, that I realized yesterday what that is about. And what it's actually about is really nice, because what you're supposed to be doing is sending these postcards on to like your loved ones and being like, look where I'm up to on my journey. So I think I'm going to start sending mine on to my parents, so they get a little postcard from me every couple of days going, oh look, I'm at the Merry Maidens in Cornwall.
I mean, your parents are pretty screwed on people. You know, they, for example, understand how to listen to a podcast. If I started sending these to Sally Price, my mum would just be like, what the fuck? Why
She'd
is
think
he-
you were there breaking tier four, yeah?
Breaking totally. Lockdown, yeah.
She'd think I was doing a tier tour, which, you know.
Tier tour.
Anyway, the postcard is written from me. It says, they're different to the girls I normally date, but these Merry Maidens in Cornwall have stolen my heart.
I was interested in that.
So there's a hetero assumption that's been made.
Yeah, and I was wondering if we'll have to chat to the women in the group to see if they got the same postcard, because I got the same one there.
Yeah, hope everything at home is good. Very weird. Anyway, I mean, I still approve. I think it's a great idea. It's called the Conqueror. That's what it's called, this thing, the Conqueror.
The scam.
Okay, so hang on. Before we get to the ads, Dave, I want to know about your bike ride, please. Thank you.
Yeah, so I went to rescue my bike about 6 months ago, and then during the summer of lockdown, and Cornelius and I would go on the odd bike ride again. Very like, let's do this and let's do it all properly. Yeah. Then obviously my bike's just sat there in the car park of my new building for the last sort of 4 or 5 months. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, on the first day of the challenge, I was like, oh, I'll just do a quick 20 minutes round. And then it took me at least 40 minutes to, you know, get the tyres back up to scratch, do some bits of tightening of bits and bobs.
Change
on the
bike. Gears and things, you know.
Just, well, I'd love to say more things that I did, but I don't know what they are because I don't know anything about bikes. I'm so pathetic at bikes that anything I will have to take to a bike shop, you know. There's not a single thing beyond reinflating the tyres when they're a bit underinflated. That's the single thing that I will do myself to the bike.
I took flat tyres to the bike shop the other day.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we're prime for the bike shop people because they can just charge it. We're just idiots that don't know anything about bikes, aren't we?
Yeah, walked in with two kids' bikes. Hello, hello, hello. These have been rotting in a shed. Pump them up, my good man. Here's £400. Cheerio.
It is like the equivalent of someone in the older generation just walking in going, my phone's turned off. Can you turn it back on for me? Yes, £10, please. Thank you. All the best. They must just be like, these are annoying, but a gold mine, these customers.
Did I tell you about what Sally Price once did with that? Because her iPad, I mean, goodness me, she's been by herself all of 2020, really difficult. And her iPad stopped working and it was really bad. She was like, my internet's broken. I don't know what to do about it. She got BT to come out, right? And I mean, that's fair enough because they do supply her broadband. I wouldn't put it past her to, you know, get Virgin Media out. But she got BT to come out and try and work out what was wrong with her broadband. Absolutely nothing with her broadband. iPad was on airplane mode.
Wow. And did they charge her for that?
They did not. So kudos to BT. They were very nice.
So there you go. So anyway, where are you? That's what we need to do every week on the podcast now. Where are you in the country?
But you're not worried in the future if your grandkids or whatever look back and see all these postcards and markers of where you actually were, that where you actually were will be consigned to history.
I mean, this will become the reality.
Yeah, they'll think you really did do this.
No, but they'll be looking back on it as this sort of like exciting, sort of almost romanticized gesture, because to them, 2020 will be like we think of like 1918 with the Spanish flu and stuff. Do you know what I mean? They'll be like, well, you were all inside your, you know, hazmat suits and your hazmat tents around your flats because nobody could move from their bedroom for 10 years. And they'll be like, what an exciting way. Plus, by then, Helen, you know, they'll all just be sat in a big chair with a VR helmet on doing absolutely pissing nothing. Everything they do will be like this.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So many people I know on Facebook got the, what's it called for Christmas?
Peloton?
No. Oh, the Facebook version of the Facebook VR.
Oh, the VR thing. Yeah.
That's next. Oh, yeah. And my friend Kevin was saying, oh, this is my name for that thing, which I've forgotten the name of. And they all just basically sit there in a VR Facebook.
Horizon.
What?
Fudge. All right. So hang on. Before we go to ads, we'll find out where each other are. Is that good sentence?
I mean, it's a slightly underwhelming update because the whole point of the app, the thing we've literally paid for, is so we can see where each other are every day.
Yeah.
Because that's a comparison thing. But, I mean, maybe it's good that Helen isn't doing it because now she will get your Google Maps out, Helen, and type in where Tom and I are, and you can see and picture it on the map.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's nice. And also, maybe I could just add up how many miles I'm doing and trace myself.
No, it's £35 to do that. So I've got to. I can tell you where I are.
Yeah, you've got a very excitingly named place.
Well, yeah, but it's not how you say it.
That's so sad.
I know, but I'm just going to say it wrong because I can't quite remember how you're supposed to say it. And lots of people will tweet us, I'm sure.
Like Muzzle or something.
Yeah,
is it?
Muzzle. I think it might be Muzzle. I'm in Mouse Hole.
Oh, that's fun. Oh, I'm getting on my Google Maps.
I'm in Mouse Hole, just down the road from Paul, which is probably pronounced Powell. This is a bit like the Mick Gruave game.
Yeah. We could have pretended we were doing it deliberately wrong all the way.
Yeah, please don't do the word nightmare, Wilfred.
So have a look where Tom is in Mouse Hole, Muzzle.
Oh, lovely. It's on the sea.
Yeah. I'm on Reginis Hill. Next to Mouse Hole Methodist Church. That's where I've got to. I've done 17.4 kilometres so far this year.
Thank you. Now, if you scoot a little bit further around the coast, Monksy, because I'm on a bike.
Yeah.
I'm right by the Marazion Museum. Marazion? How do you think we're spelling that? But can I draw your attention, Tom Price, to the map?
Right next to what's his name? Who's
Ed.
That?
Ed. That's my friend Steve's friend Ed. Classic. Yeah. Steve, that's producer Steve's friend Ed.
Oh, right. Okay. Hi, Ed.
Stevie though, producer Steve, literally you're the only person on Cabin Fever, Helen, not doing this. Producer Steve is way back, isn't he?
Is he?
Oh no, he's done it now because he his wasn't updating for a while, so he was just loitering by Land's End for 2.5 days, but now he's just a bit ahead of you actually in Muzzle.
This is fun. I want to see it.
It is a scam, but like all scams, you eventually are scammed, aren't you? You come round to the idea.
Do you know what? It's really interesting, Tom, and I'm going to say this without Helen hearing, because I've noticed a distinct pattern in the sort of people, because I invited probably about 15 people to it just to see who'd be interested.
Yeah.
And there's been a real distinct pattern in the sort of person that has said, 30 quid. It's a bit much, isn't it?
Oh,
they're unemployed.
And
actors.
No, it's actually very much the opposite of that. I'm going to beep the names out.
Oh yeah,
because I don't feel comfortable. But one was
yeah,
very right. much a multimillionaire.
No,
and another was a guy I do my who was well up for it until he found out he had to pay.
Oh, that's a bit tight, isn't it?
So to sum up, because that's going to be really infuriating for you all with all the bleeps, basically people with a lot of money have been the ones that have gone, that's a bit steep, isn't it?
And
that's leading me to believe that Monksy's acting career...
I'm a secret millionaire.
It's absolutely flying
well,
secretly.
What can I say?
How much did you get paid for the Christmas special of Upstart Crow you weren't even in?
£1 million.
To be clear, it is because of money that they. It isn't because of maybe their profile. Maybe the people we bleeped out might have a high profile. It's not. It's because of money.
Both. So in one case, the chat went straight to money, and the other one, the person literally was the first person to reply, going, "I'm well up for this. That's well up my street. I'd love that."
Wow.
This is the very richest one that I've just said.
Yeah.
Like, you know, has earned ridiculous money.
Yeah.
For a long time. And then he came back about 2 hours later when he'd looked at it properly and went, oh, I didn't realise we had to pay. And then that's the last I heard of it.
Do you think you get to the point where you're just so rich that everything is for free?
I do kind of think that's like saying, can you, you know, pay for a ticket to go and see the Foo Fighters? And they're like, well, I've not paid for a ticket to see anything since 1992.
Because it was one of the Foo Fighters.
I tell you what's not free.
What?
This podcast. If you want to earn the second half, you've got to listen to some adverts.
Good. Oh, what a lovely link.
There you go. There you go. Whoa. Cabin FE83709. Oh, 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 that's our
Twitter name. Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I just last map chat before we move on to the main portion of the podcast.
Yeah,
I've said that as if we've got a plan. Does anyone have one?
I mean,
cool. Carry on. But just can I just draw your attention to where I am on the map, Tom?
Yes, yes. You're by a museum.
But can you see the route I've taken to get there?
You have to go out onto some sort of land. Are you going? You've gone to St. Michael's Mount.
Yes. Now is that over
some water? By the
way. Yeah.
Like
right. Can is that a?
No, there's a walkway. I think.
Is there?
No.
I was going to say.
There's like a dotted line. Is that a walkway or some sort of pier or road thing?
It's a fascinating, isn't it? That's kind of what I wanted to say, because from the map, it just looks like I've walked on water. But
you know, you can, on this is one of the things that made me think it was a scam, on the Conqueror website, you can do the English Channel virtually. And I know you can swim it, but you can also walk and run it. So,
right. Yeah, scam. Yeah, I understand that. No, but I'm, yeah, I think most people that do the English Channel one will probably swim it. We'll probably swim it, right? Yeah, oh no! Look, I've just done Google Maps, channel. And I can get from my museum to St. Michael's Mount walking in 20 minutes. So must be a walkway of some sort, or
must
a bridge.
Be a walking thing happening there. I'm sure listeners will get in touch. The other thing that it occurs to me that's worth mentioning is it's fucking miles.
It's like when you zoom out of the map.
That's what I've just done. That's what I've just done.
Too much.
So if you've done 7 miles and you've got 1,000, how many to go? 1,000.
Yeah.
Just, how many days is that going to take you?
Well, this is the thing. I've put the challenge in for 365 days, Dave. Is that wrong?
No, it's as long. I think we just think we'll see how we go. My hope is that we'll all do it in around the same time, because I know that if any of you start to get really ahead, I'll get well annoyed and start cycling far too much, you know?
Well, there you go. There's the rub, Helen. We're all going to get fit.
That's the incentive for me. Yeah. That's why I invited my friend Lizzie. So my friend Lizzie, who works at Acast, the company that put this podcast out. I don't know if I should say that or not. Yeah. But she's like quite senior at Acast, but she's a proper runner. Mm. As in, she goes out and runs like 10K a day or something ridiculous. Like, she's always running.
Yeah. Is she on this?
Yeah, yeah. She's the one that's very famously very much in the lead. Oh, God, she's up by Relibus.
Yes,
or Relubus or Relubulus or, you know, I'm really sorry for anyone Cornish or Devonish. In the next few weeks, we're going to really absolutely butcher your your local landmarks. But yeah. But yeah, look how far ahead she is, but not quite out of touch. And that's the dream for me. So now today I'm going to have to, because I am on 32 kilometres and she's on 36. Now, no doubt she'll be doing a big run today, so she'll sprint ahead again. But I reckon if I knock out 10K on my bike today, I won't be too far behind her. And that is genuinely what's keeping me sort of motivated.
Wow, that is good.
I'm going to get so far behind on this thing very, very quickly.
Well, you need to just start just going out. That's what I mean. I hate myself because all I want to do after this podcast is go and sit on the sofa and watch something I've watched 100 times before and eat some crap.
Are you
going
to go and do some exercise after this?
Yeah, I think so. I think I probably am.
It's working, Helen. It's working.
I know.
But the problem is I'm now so far behind that I'd be like, what's the point? I might as well just come last. Do you not think?
Well, there's another one of my friends who was umming and ahhing about it. And what you can do is input manually, you know, from the day we started, how far you've walked or run or anything.
I could just lie.
You could just lie. That's not really in the spirit of it, is it? But you can go onto your Fitbit or your Apple Watch, you know, your Apple Health app or whatever it is, and go, all right, I've done 25,000 steps at least today, chuck them in, and then you'll be along the map as much as you would have been.
Too
you know?
Late, Helen. It's not too late.
Oh, my gosh. Sign me up.
There we go.
I'm getting it right now.
Okay, good. I think we've done enough advertising for the Conqueror, don't you? Are they?
Yeah, I'd say so.
How much are they paying us? What's the plan?
It depends if Monk signs up. If Monk signs up, then we're starting to earn good money from it.
Oh my gosh, I'm doing it. I'm literally getting it right now. I told you it was a scam and I'm so easily scammed. Sign up.
You're the worst sort of person because we just were immediately scammed and you've tried to take a moral high ground on the scam and still ended up being scammed. That doesn't say a lot for your sort of intelligence or moral fortitude, does it?
Also, I'm so disappointed because I just read it as that you get a big meal at the end, but it's the medal again. That's going on.
It's not
about
a meal. You don't get a meal.
A big meal. All right, how about this, Manxie? By the time we finish it, we'll be able to hang out and me, you and Tom will go for a big meal with our medals.
Oh, that's good.
Okay, all right. Well, that would be nice.
The fee is £350. If that's...
Yes, exactly. Okay, for the meal.
What else is going on in other people's lives, please? Let's move on from the Conqueror. I mean, is there anything else? I mean, Dave and I have basically become the Brownlee brothers since we started.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it'd be fun to see which of us is the slightly shitter Brownlee brother. I still don't know which one that is because they're both very, very good, aren't they? But one of them is a bit shitter, isn't he?
That's always going to be the case. That's always going to be the case.
Yeah, I know. Aww. Don't try and do the exact same thing. Do you know what I mean? As your sibling, because you can't possibly be as good as the other person. Like, one of you's got to, by definition, just pull slightly ahead. Yeah. If it's sport and therefore so, it's so quantifiable, isn't it?
What's that great quote about Stephen Mark Waugh, the Australian cricketers? Mark Waugh was sledging a British batsman. I think it was Robin. What's his name? Oh, I've forgotten his name. Robin Cook. Robin Cook off of dead former Home Secretary. Yeah, that's it. He was right to sledge him. Terrible batsman. Good diplomat though. And he said, "You're the worst cricketer in the team. The worst cricketer in the England team." There's that famous quote, isn't there? And he said, "Well, at least I'm the best one in my family."
Yeah. Zing. Good. Funny though, isn't it?
Yeah.
So yes, that's it. Updates, New Year's updates, I guess. That's what we're doing, isn't it?
Did anyone stay up?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
You literally not stay up?
No, absolutely. I mean, see above, Dave. We've talked about this many times. We went to bed. Well, so we did a Zoom call with some friends at 4 o'clock and they insisted that we open the champagne. So we started drinking champagne at 4 p.m.
Dave, right.
Which is unbelievable. The only thing I'll drink, you know, that early is Bailey's. So it was, you know, we were shit-faced by 5, by 4:15, actually, realistically.
Yeah.
And then the kids went to bed and we watched something and went to bed at 9 o'clock, but got woken up massively by the fireworks. My God, it was loud.
I was going to say, how did you sleep through? Because it was relentless here.
That was a lot of fireworks. Yeah. Do you think it's because everyone, this time there were no organised events, so everyone did their own little startup firework display?
Yeah, but no one's done the maths and gone, all we need to do to recreate it is like, we'll have one firework. That would have made a good display. Yeah. Whereas everyone's gone, we'll make a pretty solid one each. So it's just been so...
It was always, because I'm on a top floor flat, so we just had to look out my window and it looks all across Croydon. Mm. And it was almost... too many fireworks to enjoy, because you were like, there's one for about 2 solid hours. I mean, it was beautiful, but it was very loud.
I bet you wished you were in your old place, Dave, because you used to be able to go to the top of the building, right, when you were in the high rise.
I mean, it's, thing is, right, here's my unpopular opinion about fireworks. They're sort of fine, aren't they? For about 20, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I absolutely love fireworks. I've got
for the whole thing. So I'm talking about, we went outside a couple of times and I'd say after 30 seconds, I was like, okay, so I'm done. That's fine.
My version of this.
It was cold. It was wet. You know, it was like, it wasn't, anyway.
You've described exactly how I feel about going to see bands live.
Right, sure. One song you know or the one song you like.
Even if it's a band I absolutely love and I'm like, I know every song, within a couple of songs I'm like, well, I get it now, to be honest.
Yeah.
Isn't that awful? Awful. But it's true.
I 100% get you. Yeah, I never quite believe that people are enjoying as much as they say they are in a lot of situations. And for me, fireworks is one of them. Because
I love fireworks. Love them. Love them.
Do you? For how long, though? Could you watch them for half an hour?
Oh, the whole thing. But I tell you why I like fireworks, because I stop thinking. And that's, my brain is constantly rattling around thinking absolute nonsense. I mean, listen to any episode of this. But when I'm watching fireworks, the caveman is sparkly. And he is sedated by fireworks. There's a carnal me that's very pleased by them.
What about you, Monksy? Where do you sit on this?
They're all right. I do really like them, but I think they're a dying industry, don't you think?
Why?
Because they're not very good for the environment.
I was amazed by on New Year's Eve was, I was like, when you think about it for more than about 10 seconds, it's mad that these are legal. That we're allowed to just buy explosives and send them off in our gardens. Like, one flew quite close to our garden. Do you know what I mean? I was like, I don't think sort of all you're doing on New Year's Eve is going, you're almost certainly going to be steaming drunk. Would you like to operate some high volume explosives?
Yeah.
Please take them without any sort of background checks or skills tests.
Get them on Amazon. Have a great time.
Right.
The man who did the firework display we used to go to, like when I was a kid, only had one arm. And I thought it was quite impressive that he still had the same job, was risking that other arm every year.
And was the other arm lost in a firework-related incident?
Actually, I don't know that for certain. I've just made that assumption.
That would be my assumption, 100%, yeah.
If I was him doing the safety address to kids, you've got to say, don't go back to a lit firework or look at your arm, haven't you? You've got
right. I think that's part of the other thing, is that all that stuff was so drilled into me as a kid. Yeah. Don't, light it and then basically get in your car and drive to Cornwall. Like, get as far away as you possibly can.
Yeah,
but I am a bit scared of the fact that literally there are yards and balconies around you within 10 metres that are just all firing them off everywhere.
I think maybe we're a bit scared. Yes.
And there used to be like a firework that you lit and then you threw. Is that a thing? Because my mum's
grenade.
I think that's warfare that you're thinking of.
My mum's brothers used to play roulette with this type of firework, but put it in their mouths.
Oh my.
And then one time it did go off in my uncle's mouth, but it was okay. Like, he didn't lose many of his teeth, I don't think. It was just his whole inside of his mouth went completely black and he was in quite a lot of pain, but he was fine. I think it was like not a big firework, it was like a little one.
With very,
Dave,
know.
Where do we start with the questions here?
I mean, it only serves to underline what, I'm going to be as generous as I can here, Helen. I imagine your family, based on you, are quite sensible, intelligent people.
Oh,
and even
so
they are putting fucking fireworks in their mouths.
I think you've slightly misjudged my family. I think you've made the incorrect assumption there that they're sensible and clever.
Okay, but either way, it's only serving to prove my point of, should fireworks be legal, ? I don't want to make this into a bloody question time debate, but basically no, based on that, absolutely not.
It's a sad day, isn't it? The last day, you know, innocence is lost on the last day, you think, what would happen if I put that in my mouth?
There was this really cool thing in a city. I think it was Leeds. I can't remember. It was a city where they had laser displays all through the city, but you could control it from your phone. So you could install an app and then...
Yes, that was Leeds, yes.
Yeah, was it Leeds? How cool did that sound? I think that's the future. When people eventually listen to you, Dave, and ban fireworks.
They did drones as well in Scotland. They did Hogmanay drones as well, which were very popular. And the drones could spell out different things. They did like a big Scottish flag and then all sorts of stuff. It's dead clever. It's dead clever.
That's so cool.
My friend Pete was the first person to operate the Leeds ones. There's a good fact for you.
Pete! Yeah.
Because he works at BBC Leeds and they did like a bit the night before it was official and he got the phone app.
Wow.
So what a legend.
He got to sort of mess around with them on that first night.
Didn't get burnt, didn't lose an arm, you see? This is
exactly.
Interesting question though, that and that sort of idea of fireworks, you're still basically, Dave, what you're saying is, and I get that, a little bit scared of them.
Yeah.
I've got that with swans. Because my parents, my parents over cautioned me about
break
swans.
Your arm off, won't they?
Break your arm, and what? I'm still to this day, I'm a bit fucking scared of swans. And I think a lot of people think swans are pricks because of their parents. I think we've inherited prejudice against swans because of our parents.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that actually, and it's really we're going potentially down yet another serious route. But don't you find that with dogs, TP? That like since like you have a dog, so you understand dogs, but so many people are terrified of your dog, I imagine, in the same way they're terrified of my dog, who is like you might as well be more terrified of a swing just hitting you in the face. You're like, he's so harmless.
Yeah, but I'd say a swing could hurt you. And like you should be more scared of some jelly. That is
right, exactly.
I mean, I understand people have got that, what we've just described. It's just phobias, isn't it?
It's just sort of born out of childhood things.
So if you had that with Herc, then if you had the moment where you think all's fine and someone's like, please, can you get your dog away from me?
Yeah, loads. I mean, a lot with kids.
Yeah.
But he's such a pathetic little, like, he's so pathetically, like, unaggressive. Yeah. But yeah, people do get, like, they just have irrational fears of dogs. And I totally get that if it's a big, scary dog or they've had a big dog thing in the past. But it's a bit mad, isn't it?
You know that on a serious note, again, Dave, God, we're really playing the serious notes here. If you, if someone says, and I hope this isn't just a sort of urban myth that goes around dog walkers, but if someone says, could you please put your dog on a lead? You must do it, otherwise they can... pursue it legally. If someone says, can you put a dog on a lead, always, always do it.
Yeah, I know. It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
I might start going around the park asking people to put a dog on a lead.
and then conveniently sell leads in case they haven't got a lead.
That's a good idea, isn't it? Yeah. Well, do you know what you can do, Helen? You can start at Land's End and start telling every dog you walk past on your way to John O'Groats to put their dog on a leash.
Dave.
Tom.
So we'll keep people updated, obviously, on our virtual trip to John O'Groats. What we need to do at the end of this, though, right? And Helen will be up for this. Hmm. Bearing in mind, most of our listeners are in Scotland.
Yeah, well, this is exactly... Do you know what? I just had that thought as you started that thought. Go on, carry on.
Well, we've got to go and do the last 5 kilometres up in Scotland, haven't we?
Yeah, well... The last 500 kilometres are in Scotland, aren't they?
Okay, but what I'm saying is, we can't commit...
Oh, like, as in we've got to physically do the things.
Physically, we've got to go to the place to finish it.
Oh, that's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, if all the restrictions are lifted, I am absolutely game. Well, I was just going to look up to see if our route takes us past Peebles. Our virtual route.
Oh my, that's an interesting thought. But what I would say is, if all the restrictions are lifted, Dave, it's 1,000 miles. Unless COVID-23 has kicked in, then I think it's fine. I think the restrictions will be gone. It's going to take ages for us to get there.
Oh wow, you've just cursed it. That's so touchwood moment, isn't it?
Can I just send you a little screenshot, Tom? And Helen, I'll send it you both. The route that we're taking. Here it comes.
Oh my.
Wow.
We will hurdle, and I'm sorry, John et al, if I get this wrong. We'll hurtle past Codrona.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we'll be on the A72. Yeah. We'll be running and cycling all the way up the A72 to Peebles. Oh. And then we'll sort of veer off onto the A703 up towards Eddleston and up towards Edinburgh. But that's the route we're taking. So we will virtually pass Peebles.
I still think
Can I ask what inevitably happens when I arrive 360 days after everybody else?
We'll do. You can have your meal then. We'll order it when we have ours, and then we'll just leave it, and you can have it. You can reheat it.
Yeah, we'll bury your meal under a rock. It'll be absolutely fine.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Are you going to join, Helen? Have we actually persuaded you?
Literally, I've paid the £30.
Have you actually?
I'm deeply regretting it. Yeah, I have. What do I do now? It's going to send me an email.
Oh my God, it's just a Ponzi scheme, mate. You're absolutely doomed. You didn't use your card, did you? Oh, mate.
Oh God, this is awful.
Always use PayPal. Always use PayPal.
Always with the PayPal. All right, good. So the challenge for the year is on. AOB re-NY 2021?
No, NOB.
NOB. I've been learning the periodic table of elements, but I'll tell you about that next week.
Oh, my God. Iron.
That is correct.
You've got a what periodic table?
No, I was testing you. What's iron?
Have you learnt the periodic table of elements?
No. Oh. I'm so just on my way.
Okay, what have you done so far then? Are you doing it row by row or column by column? Or?
Well, I've not learned any of the actual elements. Right. But what I've done is I've learned what the different categories are.
Noble gases.
Yes, where are they?
The right-hand side, the far right column.
Yeah, the far right. Well, that's about where I'm up to, so we're not.
Can I just ask why?
Yeah.
You can ask that, but I don't necessarily have an answer for
you.
Okay,
fine, good. All right.
Is this? Can I take it from that you've completed and are an expert in chess?
What?
Well, that was the last thing you set out to learn. Have you completed chess over the Christmas holidays and now you're onto the periodic table?
Yes, I became a chess master.
You've beaten the chess ender dragon. Well done.
Got a medal.
A medal and a meal in the post.
Congratulations.
Now on to science.
Oh, so are you, this is not me undermining your achievement. Is that how far you've got, that the noble gases are on the far right-hand side, yeah?
The noble gases on the far right-hand side and the reactive non-metals are and sort of near there as well on the right. And the alkali metals are on the far left. That's where I'm up to.
Okay.
I've just learned more about chemistry in the last 30 seconds than I learned in years of school chemistry lessons.
Yeah. I'd say
noble gases is the one bit I do remember. And then the hydrogen's just sort of on its own at the top, isn't it?
I remember lead is PB. That's the end of my knowledge there.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. It'd be interesting to know, actually. Maybe we should do a quick test with you now, Helen. And then in 4 weeks, we can do a second test to see how far you've progressed.
Oh, yeah.
So, well, we'll see how many you actually know. Because I reckon you probably know a few Tom from school, right? As well,
it'll be one of those moments where my brain comes up with answers that I had no idea we were.
Yes, exactly. Well, do you know iron? That was the first one that pops into my head.
Fe,
correct.
Yeah, don't know why that's there. I no
that's
idea.
That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did you know that, Monksy?
No, I was going to say IR.
Sure, you've really gone down the. Okay, so. What I'm getting is that you haven't yet got past the first sentence, which says it's not always just the first two letters of the element.
I've been learning the ones that are really easy first, like H and O. Yeah.
And well, I'm going to test you annoyingly on the ones that aren't, because they're the only ones I remember. Mercury. Do you remember Mercury?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Is it
Fe?
That's iron. We just did it.
Isn't it, just it L, it? Mercury? L.
No, it's not. No, it's HG, Mercury.
HG. I was going to say LG, but those are the TVs.
Potassium.
Oh, yes.
P.
No, that's another trick one. These are all the ones I can remember are trick ones.
Yeah.
Look at you, Dave. I wish I'd not bought this. You're kind of outdoing me over here. Potassium. P. Oh, you already said that. No, I don't know.
Potassium is K.
Oh, yes, good one.
Because P is phosphorus.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then the only other weird one I can remember off the top of my head is sodium to finish as well.
Is it N-A?
N-A, correct.
N-A, yes!
Well done, everybody.
There you go, guys.
Well, there you go. So we'll test you again in a few weeks, Monksy, and see how
all
much...
All right, okay.
There's
a lot of competitive learning to do now, isn't there? Running, periodic tabling.
And if you remember it, there's one episode of Friends where they name atomic element number 101. And if you can remember that as a Friends quote, that'll help you remember one of them. Do you remember that? Tricky, isn't it? It's Mendelevium.
Oh.
And now you'll come across that Friends episode soon and you'll be able to answer it. And that'll be good. It's the one with Russ. Remember when David Schwimmer plays Russ?
Yeah, that was a mistake. That was a mistake.
It wasn't. Not a great plot line, certainly.
All right, good, fine. AOB, NAOB, virtual runs and chemistry tests, all self-improving on Chemistry
Fever. Yes. Well, I can't wait till next week when we've realised we've given up on it all.
Good. All right, thanks for coming. All the best, kind regards.
Thank you.
Bye. See you in Devonish.
Cabin FE 83709. Oh, 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 Cabin FE 83709. Oh, 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 Cabin FE 83709. Oh, 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 that's our Twitter name.
As we record this, 3 minutes ago, Keir Starmer has just called for a national lockdown within 24 hours.
Oh, for God's sake. No. K is potassium.
GreatBigOwl.com. So, welcome to lockdown if you're listening to this.
Also, Cabin FE, shouldn't that be called now Cabin Iron?
Cabin Iron.